Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
There's bugs we want in our yard, like ladybugs and pollinators, and then there's the evil triumvirate that you never want to see in your yard. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It's Mr. Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura. Go Redbirds.
Go Redbirds indeed. Today on GLT's Grow, we're talking about the three most heinous bugs that can invade our property.
Mm-hmm. And invade is what they do indeed. So I chose three insects for our discussion that in my opinion and the opinion of other, let's call them landscape professionals, these are the insects that will do the most damage. And how do we decide what's damage? Okay, damage is something that makes the aesthetics or the presentation of your lawn or your trees or your whatever you have, it's a good presentation or it's lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have perfect teeth and a nice pearly smile, and it can be completely destroyed by a small piece of asparagus stuck in the crack of your teeth, right?
Absolutely.
So the same would be true for these insects. And I'd like to just share with everybody what they are first, and then we'll talk about them
individually.
There's some overlap, yes. So we've got the grub worms that attack our turf, and they eventually turn into an adult Japanese beetle.
Oh, yeah. It's like a double whammy.
Yeah, a total double whammy. And then we've got the bagworms and hang in the little diamond-shaped 1 to 2 inch silken bags. They hang off of plants. And then we have the emerald ash borer that attacks ash trees. And they're starting to make the transition into other trees in the rosacea family, like the fringe tree.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we have one right here on campus,
We've already lost an elm on campus, a great big one to them.
The ashes.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a single ash. That has not been slated for removal or has not been removed yet. And so let's start talking about that ash borer.
Okay.
So, you know, like up in Cook County and north of I-80, that's kind of where the ash borer first kind of started showing up. And there are a lot of charming villages in Cook County that when they were developed back in the day, ash trees, willow, poplar, soft maples, they were the... were the crudité of the time, right? That's what everybody had to choose from because that's what was growing for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And they grew quickly, you know, so there was some predictability there. And I can think of a couple of villages like South Holland, Illinois, University Park. These are all Southeast Cook County towns that in one time when the towns were laid out and the downtown grid was established and the street patterns, ash trees were planted up and down the streets. So when whole bunches of ash trees were affected, it really negatively impacted the folks that live there because all their shade essentially disappeared.
What does this bug do to the tree?
The ash borer, when it's in its flying form, it shows up in the ash tree and it goes into the aerial parts of the tree. It's not down at our head level, but up high in the tree.
Where it's hard to get them.
Yeah. And it lays an egg, and that egg hatches, and a larvae, it mines underneath of the bark. And
so it eats the tree from the inside out.
Yeah, and it eats the tree where the nutrients and water are being taken up and pushed up into the tree. So it interferes with that. So the ash borer has several stages of infestation. So if you have an ash tree and you notice a dead branch, that should get your hackles up to say, uh-oh, something's going on. And then the next stage is you start to get failure of other branches, and then you start to develop all these water sprouts around the sucker base of the tree.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, it's bad bugs like the emerald ash borer. Is that hard to treat for?
It has proven to be very difficult to treat for, and it is more anecdotal to hear of cases where people successfully treated them there are just as many cases where people had treated them successfully for a while,
mm-hmm.
only to have the bug show up anyway.
Mm.
And I'm of the opinion that the best thing to do is to kind of remove those trees from your property, starting with the ones that are a threat to people or property first, and then find a replacement, not an ash tree.
Okay.
That's the best thing to do.
All right.
So let's put the ash borer behind us because it, you know, here's the problem with the trees. You know, trees give us shade. They frame our houses on the lot. They have a direct relationship to the standard of living that we have worldwide. So if one species of tree is wiped out by a bug, what if there were two species of trees? All right. So it's important to understand what happens with the ash borer. So if something else comes along to start chiseling away at the oaks or the maples, I mean,
we're in trouble.
That would be bad.
Well, what about bagworms? I know they can be problematic for trees.
Bagworms are typically found on arborvitaes and cedars, but they can get on other ornamental plants. I've seen them on burning bush, on lilacs.
Wow.
And the eggs overwinter in the bag, and then the eggs hatch, and the little bag emerges in the late spring, and that's June.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see these bags hanging on the evergreens easily. Usually it's easy to see them.
They kind of actually look a little like pine cones, so you have to not be fooled by that.
That is true, Laura. That's a good point to bring up. But they're a silver-gray color that's easy to spot against the dark green needles and things like that.
So does it basically, like, sap the tree of all its juices, too, and kill it that way?
It emerges out of the bag at night, and it eats the plant.
Ugh.
So, you know, it consumes the needle, the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can defoliate. And then, again, that talks about the presentation of our plants. If you
right.
have an arborvitae and there's a big, you know, orangey-brown dead spot in it because the bagworms were, that arborvitae is not very useful anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you can control these organically with BT, Bacillus thumbergii. It can be applied in a liquid or a dry form.
I can attest to the fact that it works wonders. I've used it in my own yard.
Excellent, Laura. And you can yank them off with your hand and put them in a coffee can and throw them in the garbage or
yeah,
throw them in
I've
a leaf
stomped
fire.
On them too,
yeah.
So, you know, just to get some satisfaction. But there's also these grubs that we have to deal
yeah,
with.
Yeah, so the grub worm is the larval form of a Japanese beetle. So this is the two for one.
Mm-hmm.
And August to October is when the grubs do their damage. They feed on the roots, and you usually find them around the edges first, so where your grass meets the sidewalk or the
uh-huh.
driveway or patio.
So you see it, and you see like some dead grass, you know what's going on there.
Yes, and when you see dead grass, it's too late. It's
oh,
too
boy.
Late. And if you have 10 to 12 grubs or more per square foot, that's enough to give you damage. So if you see a grub worm when you're doing some gardening or whatever, don't panic. It's when you see 10 to 12 in the space that the bottom of your bucket covers, then you got something to worry about.
Okay.
You can use a granular herbicide as a preventative, and it has to be watered in thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
The grub worms seem to like irrigated lawns better. So if you have a lawn that doesn't need irrigation, you'll have less problems with grub worms.
Good point.
Yeah. So, you know, there again, you have the analogy to the smile. You get this big, beautiful lawn with a big dead patch the size of the infield, there goes your nice presentation.
And then your grown-up Japanese beetles
go after,
like, rose bushes and all kinds of your beautiful
They have
ornaments.
Numerous targets. I've heard
yeah.
many cases where people had them on one thing one year, and they came back the next year, they ate something different. That happened at my house.
How do we treat for them?
You can trap or bait them, but that can be problematic.
Yeah.
You got to stay close, or got to stay far away from your yard with the traps. You can use neem oil to spray the plants that they have a taste for, and that will discourage them. But the best thing to do is try and control your grub worms before they turn into adult Japanese beetles.
Yeah, stop it before it starts.
Indeed.
In other words.
Indeed.
Okay, great. Thanks, Murph. Next week on GLT's Grow, we're going to be dealing with plant nutrition deficiencies. Now, if you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill out the form and send it along to us. Maybe we'll have it on the air. You never know. And that's wglt.org/grow.